Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
After countless steps and more than a few miles, your dog drives you forward one last time to make that final climb. And as the rising sun peeks out from the horizon, you know, incredible happens here because it starts here with the fuel that makes it all possible. Pro Plan Sport. Discover advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours at ProPlanSport.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Introducing Batiste Sweat-Activated and Touch-Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste Dry Shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
Welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty DeFaro, only seen here out of Indie Music Studios out of Ronkonkoma. Abe, show number two.
How we doing?
Abe, we have a special guest on. I don't think you were around the last time he was on.
No, I don't think so.
The great John Cena Sr. John, welcome aboard. Thank you for coming back on the show. We've missed you.
I miss you guys, too. You guys are great. You're awesome. We always had a great time, and I'm very honored to be able to come back on the show. Thanks for asking me on.
Well, it's our honor. Jimmy, John Cena Sr.
Yes, sir.
The man.
Mr. John Cena Sr. The nicest man we've ever interviewed, by the way. Who gets it? Who gets what we're about? I love John Cena Sr. How are you, sir? Thanks for coming on.
I'm fabulous, as I say. Looking good.
Fabulous.
John, so we were talking before the show, right? You just said what you just turned 80, right?
I'll be 80 in June. Yep.
Unbelievable! I cannot believe the kind of shape you're in, and I swear to God, I thought you were 60 something, or maybe 61. I'm not kidding. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I guess I should have looked up Wikipedia or something. I'm like, this guy doesn't look a day over. He looks younger than
something
me.
Is in that sauce. Something's in the sauce. Admit it, John.
I got to get the water. All I know is my girlfriend's 24 years younger.
What?
Ah, there you go.
Maybe
there
that's go. That might be the secret. That might be the
there
secret.
There you go, right there.
24 years younger. That could be it.
John, wow. I know you're a pretty religious guy. Is there a possibility when I die I could come back as you? Is that possible?
What?
No. I think John, people clear him up. One of me is enough, man. They don't need any more.
Friggin' guy, the guy's 80. He looks like he's 50 or 49, and he's got a woman 24 years younger. Jimmy, I give up. I give up.
She's from Brooklyn, New York.
Jeez. Ah, very good. That'll keep you young.
Good old morning.
That'll keep you young.
But they're tough. I'll tell you, they're tough.
But the key thing, though, Mike, the most important thing about Mr. Cena is that with all those things you described, he's young up here.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He stays young, but with an educated mind. That's a dangerous weapon right there, because you've got the experience with the youthful enthusiasm. Okay. That's what separates him from most people. And one day, maybe I'll get there. I'm trying, man. But this Moronica, like we spoke about before the show tomorrow, the Moronica is running wild with me. I don't know what to do. Maybe that keeps me young. I don't know.
Amen. I think so.
Amen.
John, there's like just a question. Your girlfriend, does she give you flack about like still loving wrestling? Is she like enough already? What? Or what's that like?
Well, as a matter of fact, when I first met her, I'll tell you how I met her. I played Santa Claus. I've been doing it for over 30 years. And we were at a gathering at the Blue Ocean. I needed an assistant. They sent her down. That was the beginning. That's it. And then I told her I do professional wrestling, too. I do matches. And she said, oh, I'm not into that. I don't like that stuff. I don't want that stuff. You know, the old F-bomb stuff. New York is all F-bombs, right? And then now I can't stop her from coming. We go to AEW, once in a while we'll sneak if we can at WWE. I got the shows up here. She's really into it. She's having a lot of fun with it. I think, you know, I say to people, wrestling is like acting, especially for us, you guys that are in the business. Once you get in the ring, it's like getting the makeup on your face when you're an actor. It's in your blood. You never get it out.
We got to talk about that, because there's so many different issues just with today's society, with fans and everything else. And you're right in the mix of it. So I'd love to see, get your viewpoints on it. But before we get into it, I wanted to cover a news article. We obviously know the Kansas City Chiefs won yet another Super Bowl. And, John, I don't want to hear it, because your Patriots have won enough Super Bowls. Me and Jimmy are long-life Jet fans who live this miserable existence, so whatever. But anyway,
you want to hear some F-bombs? You want to hear some F-bombs, John? We'll give you some F-bombs, and it won't be football either. Anyway.
Unfortunately, during the celebration, there was with a nearly 1 million people. 1 million people were downtown Kansas City. I didn't even know Kansas City had that many people. But
all over the country.
There was a shooting.
People came in from New Hampshire. They came in from all over the country.
Who would ever? I guess the power of a player, right? I guess the power of one player. Yeah. And then you have the Swifties, so God knows. But anyway, unfortunately, what seems to be the thing that goes on in this world now, there was a shooting. People lost their lives. John, are we as a society getting worse, or do you feel it's just the same and we just get more information than we did in the past?
My feeling is this. I have never seen the country or the world in the state that it's in now. It's very sad. You have people shooting for no reason. We have people attacking race, color, creed for no reason than hate. This stupidity of this shooting started, from what I understand, over a dispute that spread into innocent people. One mother with two children is dead. They shot kids from age 6 to 14, 21, 47-year-old people, 50-year-old people, 60-year-old people, for what? What is the reason? And then you find these other people that say it's in their logs, or society makes it so easy. We've got to be easy. You can't ban this. You can't do that. They make guns now with 3D printers. You can't stop it, but there is a way to protect people from it by being stricter, by making the laws stricter to obtain the firearms. They're going to get them no matter what you want. But when people plan, they actually plan to go into schools, to go to these events and commit these crimes because they want to be removed. I once wrote a newspaper article when I was in college, and I think it's rather apropos today. I wrote it that we are no better than the Roman Empire. If you look at where the Roman Empire was, the greatest in the world, and what happened? Rome fell because people refused to defend it. The interior of the society became corrupt. Things were allowed that shouldn't be. There was interior fighting. And so Rome fell because there was no way to defend it and no way to protect it. Its people fought amongst themselves. I tell you what, I make a prediction. I hope it never happens. I think the next war you see is going to be a civil war in this country. It's that bad. People now fight over the stupidest things. I can't believe it. People get out of their cars and shoot people. People go to supermarkets and shoot people. They go into Walmart and shoot a cashier because they didn't speak to them the right way. Beat up somebody at McDonald's because they get the wrong order. What's wrong with this world? What is wrong? We've lost all sense of direction. We've lost all sense of self-respect and respect for what's around us. And I hate to say this. I raised 5 sons. It all begins at home. And, I may be wrong, and you guys can bury me on this if you want. I'm not the with all for the answers. It all started when we took the Pledge of Allegiance out of classrooms and when we stopped some prayer. And believe me when I say, I don't force religion on anybody. What you believe, you believe. Whatever gets you to where you have to be to give you the daily strength you need, and that's when I do weddings, I say, let's offer up our prayers now for a moment for whomever it is you seek your daily strength from. It could be that tree next door. It could be that picture of that Indian behind. It could be anybody. So we've lost all that. Society, a different direction. We're headed in a direction that is destructive. Look at the Roman Empire. That's exactly the track that we're on.
Jimmy, what are your thoughts?
Well, as I hear John talking, maybe we can take this prayer home tonight when we're done with the show. When I hear John talking and when I hear the way John is speaking, and most importantly, what John is saying, I pray that one day there will be someone who comes along, and it doesn't matter what party he comes from. I pray that one day somebody comes along who speaks the way John just did, where we can all see the common sense in what the man is saying, and we can all feel the same way about that man. That's when this country will be one again, because common sense is what freed us. Common sense is what has kept us intact, and common sense is what we're losing nowadays. There is no common sense. And if you don't, everything John said, you cannot argue with. Okay? It says under God, indivisible. It says in God we trust on the money. I'm not telling you what to believe, but if you're just strictly talking about good and bad, why would you want the bad to run wild the way it has? Don't you know when enough is enough as a society? Don't you know that your neighbors at the end of the day face the same mortal things we all face? We're all heading to the same destination. And if you think that there's nothing at the end, that's your free will to feel that way. But I prefer to think that there's a much better way after this way. And the only way to get there the best you can is just to treat that other way right here and now, okay? Care about those people around you. And I pray that one day we'll have a politician stand up there and carry himself and speak the way John just did. because that's the kind of talk that will unite us again.
I agree with what both of you are saying and what John said. It doesn't matter what you believe in, but there's some kind of law within religion that keeps people on the straight and narrow, right? And at the worst case, you're just being taught what's right and what's wrong, and establishing some kind of moral compass within yourself. So it does begin at home. And again, John, we know each other for a while, but we don't know each other super well. But you could clearly see by the children that you raised and what we see in public is certainly an example out of how human beings should be acting. I mean, talking about, you know, one of your sons, obviously the great John Cena, what that man has done for children who are facing death, there's not a word for it. And there's no doubt that it started with, you know, you and their mother. So kudos to you, sir. And I hope as a society we start to become quite, you know, better at this. I don't want to hang on the negative. But Billy Jack Haynes, we covered in the last show, Jimmy, unfortunately, has been arrested for the murder of his wife. His wife was ill with dementia, a severe case. And from what we understand from the headlines, that Billy might have or took her life via gunshot. John, I don't know if you knew Billy at all or you ran across him within your career, especially on the pro wrestling side. Do you know anything about Billy Jack Haynes?
No, I know where he started. I've heard, you know, various stories from various people about his temper, about how he was to deal with. But when I never had the opportunity to meet him one-on-one. But when I listen to this story and I sit back and I say to myself, you know, if it in fact is true, and none of us know what the story is yet, excuse me, the fact of the matter is that a person lost their life. Dementia is a very sad disease. I just had a friend lose his mother to that. She'd call up screaming, they're holding me hostage, get me out of here, they're starving me to death. And then he'd go back in the morning and say, well, what do you mean I called you last night? I don't even have your telephone number. You know, and then I see somebody else who's saying, I didn't talk to my granddaughter last night. It's a very serious, serious thing. And I pray to God someday that we find a cure for these things, because I'm sure we have cures, but it just doesn't profit anybody to bring those cures of cancer and dementia and everything else forward. We can find a cure for a COVID disease, or at least contain it, but we can't find a cure for the common cold of cancer. Nothing makes sense. But for a man to reach the point, normally what would happen under those circumstances, and I'm just, believe me, surmising. I feel very sorry it happened. Nobody understands the emotion he was going through, but usually those end in double suicides. One mate cannot live without the other. It's that type of situation. What caused it? Why it was caused? There are, and I don't know anything other than what I hear or read, but it seems there's conflicting stories as to what it happened, why it happened. Some people say it's a loving relationship. Some people say it wasn't a loving relationship. You know, I guess we're going to talk about another scandal with the WWE. But the thing is, I always say, you know, there's three sides to every story. There's yours, there's mine, and there's the truth. And what we're after now is getting the truth. What really happened? What forced this man to supposedly, and you know, we do a lot of crazy things for love. And when you love a person that much, and you can't stand to see that person suffer or go through what dementia causes. And it's cruel. It's cruel to watch somebody decay with that disease. Maybe that's why people do what they do. Hopefully we'll get the story. Hopefully we'll understand. But for myself, I just don't know. Like I say, I've heard Dutch talk about him. I've heard other people speak about him. He seemed to have a short fuse. You know, he was quick and easy on the draw, fast. So who knows? Only God knows. Only he has the answer to what happened and why it happened. Will it be believable? Only God knows that too. If it was a case of, I didn't want to watch them suffer anymore, well, I don't know how you justify that. I don't know what I would do in that case. I really don't. It's difficult enough to walk the path without taking somebody's life that you love so dearly. And that's why I say, when you read most of these things, elderly couples doing this type of situation, it usually ends in one or the other or both being demised. So I don't know the answer to that one. I really don't. I don't know if you've got any more feedback on that, if either of you know any more. I think it's a bizarre story. I really do. And to sit back and try to digest that in my mind, I'm going, well, I read a lot about him. I know when he started wrestling. I know what he did. He was a great performer, but he had backstage issues, had issues with some of the people, according to Dutch Mantel, and a few of the other stars. Were those issues, and I believe, if I'm correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he was in the hospital. He had just suffered a fall, and he signed himself out, from what I understand, because he couldn't be without his wife and went home, and that's when the situation started. The thing that confuses me on this issue, and again, I know very little about it, is why it took 2 hours to get a man out of a house. If it was a case of mercy killing, is that a good word to use? I guess that's the only word I can think of.
That's what Jimmy and I were discussing. It could be a case of, yeah. You know, again, we don't want to speculate, but in my mind, we met Billy twice. I spoke to Billy, I don't know, a handful of times on the telephone, just in general conversation. It could be a case of mercy killing, John. I mean, me and Jimmy, we were discussing that earlier.
Well, if that's the case, and again, let you and I, somebody has to be the devil's advocate, so I'll be the devil's advocate, I guess.
Sure.
So if you perform that function and you remove that person, when the police come to your house, why does it take 2 hours before you let somebody in or 2 hours before you surrender? That's the one thing that I can't in my mind figure out. I mean, it's done. You did it out of love. And I'm sorry I did it, but I couldn't watch her suffer anymore. Here, take me. Take me. Come in and take me. Just make sure you take care of my wife and allow me to do what I need to do to give her final resting place. These are things that kind of sit in my mind that it's kind of like sifting sand. There's some big lumps in that sifter that won't go through. And those are one of the things that sit in the back of my mind and say 2 hours before he finally came out or allowed people in. There's something illogical about that.
Well,
definitely illogical.
I'll let Jimmy speak to this, but I will say that in the few times that we've met Billy and the few times I spoke to him, there's certainly, you know, John, when you speak to someone, you could feel like something's not exactly right. There's an uncomfortableness that you get from somebody. That's what I got off of Billy. Seemed like a very nice guy, don't get me wrong, but there was something off. Jimmy, do you want to add on to that?
Well, since we're exploring the possibility that this was possibly a mercy killing, the only thing I can think of is that when he took her life, but maybe he wasn't ready to leave her. And for some reason, the 2 hours We don't know what went on in that house when those 2 hours were going on, other than come out, as they were telling him to come out. Who knows? He might have been talking to her. Look, we're exploring this possibility, so I'm thinking to myself, maybe he was talking to her, how sorry he was that he had to watch this, you know, and watch her fall apart, and he didn't want to do this, or he wanted to tell her about things that they experienced in their time together that he remembered. It's his business, man. I don't know what happened in there, but if we're exploring the possibility that this was a mercy killing, I might not be ready to leave. I might have some more things I want to say to her before they take me away, because you know what your fate's going to be. Once you leave that house, you won't be at the funeral because of the way it happened. You won't see her again. You know, and yeah, I bet you he was also scared. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. You know, people think they can just make a cut, dry, blanket statement on where he was at. Anybody with a real feeling, caring soul knows how people usually can process things. And I tend to think that he might have needed some time before he left that house, because he knew what he did was going to result in him never seeing her again one way or the other. He wasn't going to be at the funeral, judging the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And perhaps he just needed to say a few more things to her. I don't know. We don't know.
Well done by both of you guys on this subject. John, I want to ask you a question since we're kind of getting into it. On this desk is a book called Monster Mirror. It's actually written by a gentleman, Michael Caprelli, who sat with the Son of Sam. I'm sure you remember the Son of Sam back in the day for, you know, a tremendous amount of hours. And as we all know, the Son of Sam converted to Christianity and believes in Christ and has asked for forgiveness. My question to you is, on your end of it, you know, we have people like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, Charles Manson, David Berkowitz. If a man is truly sorry and wants forgiveness from Christ, do you believe that they truly are forgiven and will reach the hand of God?
I guess what I have to say is that if we go by scripture, I guess Jesus said everyone can be forgiven. All they have to do is ask. But I think the key to that is true remorse. Truly want to be forgiven for what you've done. You know, I think that sometimes people that perform these heinous acts at the end might have this revelation and fear that what happens after I'm gone and where do I go? You know, I always joke, my friends always say to me, well, I'm an atheist. I say, you can't be an atheist because you believe in yourself. And besides, the definition of a dead atheist is somebody all dressed up with no place to go. So you don't want to be there. And think about this. You've got a man now that commits murder, a man that says he's religious, that believes in Christ, that believes that Christ is his Savior and his Lord. And based on scripture, if you ask to be forgiven and are truly sorry for your sins, then Jesus will forgive you. You know, that's so let it be written, as they said in the Ten Commandments, so let it be done. If we believe in who he was and what he was and what he did, then my answer to that has to be a definite yes. But I wonder if at some point in time, it's just not a charade. It's just like, I don't want to face this death. I don't want to be hated by people for the rest of my life. Did you really find salvation? Did you really find the meaning of forgiveness? You know, I think one of the most difficult things in the world is you and I as people to forgive, to truly walk up and hug somebody and say, it's okay. What you did is okay. I forgive you for what you did. That takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of courage. And people are not forgiving. My old saying is, in order to be forgiven, one must first forgive. That's the way it goes. Yeah, that's a good shot, I guess. But I would say that if he truly is remorseful and he truly has turned to the Lord, then I would say the Lord would not abandon him and would save him. Other people will sit back and say, wait a minute, that man murdered all these people. He deserves to go to hell. You know, and if we go back to scripture on that, and believe me, I'm not a super religious guy. I believe in what I believe in. We were joking the other day, it was Ash Wednesday on Valentine's Day, and my girlfriend, I don't know if you can still see it or not, but my sister even saw it today when I brought her something. She said, you got a cross on your head. It, for some reason, it won't wash out. And so my sister's very comical. She said, that's because you need a lot of help. And I said, you can't be far off. But when you think about forgiveness, again, we as society sit back and can't understand this word. We're all guilty. I stand guilty as charged. You know, we don't want to forgive. Hate is what we thrive on. You know, an eye for an eye is what we thrive on. So if somebody commits a heinous crime, and I remember when I was in college, my psychology teacher, I was writing a paper on capital punishment in favor of it. And she was not. And so I said, you're not in favor of killing or getting rid of a person who's committed murder, who's destroyed people. I said, so what I'm going to do is let's use this example. The first thing I'm going to do at night, I'm going to sneak into your house. I'm going to tie you to a chair. I'm going to tie your husband and your two children to the next three chairs. And I'm going to slit their throats and cut off their hands and throw them at you one at a time. And then I'm going to walk out the door and say goodbye. And I was sick and didn't mean to do it. And I said, now, what will you do when you get loose? And you know what her answer was? The first thing I do when I get out of that chair is I'm going to kill you. Mm. Well, you can't speak out of both sides of your mouth. You know, so forgiveness is difficult. Only God can forgive. And, you know, the question a lot of people have is it or isn't it? Does it or doesn't it exist? I don't know. I only believe. Faith is when we're gone, we find out whether we're right or wrong. You know, so to forgive, maybe he could be. Maybe he would be. I believe that he would. But then that's like saying, what about Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, Muammar Gaddafi, you know, all these guys, Stalin, who brutalized these people. And will they be forgiven if they ask for it? Because we're so quick. And I believe you'd be with me standing right there. Frig him. Shoot him. Get rid of him. Shoot him. Why rehabilitate? It's only going to come back and bite you in the ass, so to speak. So I guess that's my answer. I get too long-winded on things. I'm sorry. But I think no. That's it.
John, why do you think why do you think that religion in general is under attack nowadays? And is this a direct result of the cynical world we seem to be living in now, the lack of any acknowledgement of people's religions anymore? Or what do you think it is that, you know, we're seeing religions under such attack, especially Christianity?
Well, I think when you follow Christianity and you go back and look at the history of it, there were some bad times. A lot of things were done and taught out of fear, because they needed to control the masses. When you go back and look at the history of the Catholic Church, go back and look at the beginning of the Lutheran Church, Martin Luther had it right when he nailed his 96 theses on the door and said, wait a minute, you can't sell indulgences. You can't sell the right to get to heaven. You can't do this. You know, he had a very simple, logical answer to life. And Jesus basically said the same thing. You know, how simple is it to get to heaven? And Jesus's answer was simple. He simply said, love your God with your whole heart and love your fellow man in person. And things are good. Love your neighbor. And what did Luther say? Try to be the best person you can. And don't hurt anyone and go through life. And that's enough. Because right or wrong, if I read things wrong, didn't he die once and for all for sin so that we were all forgiven for sin? Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have these guys that keep popping up like Stalin, like Adolf Hitler, who destroyed millions of innocent Jewish people, or Stalin, who destroyed the Russians, starved them to death and froze them to death. So religion is under attack in Christianity because today's society, I don't know if you watch Discovery, if you watch any of those programs, but they're all trying to disprove the theory that it's not true. I have a nephew that says, Uncle John, you're kind of crazy. You know, Jesus isn't real. He never existed. Well, that's not true because they have historical fact that there was this prophet. Call him what you will. The Jews don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but they believe he was a great prophet. So correct. The fact of the matter is, then along comes pedophilia. Here's a church that teaches, hold it, you can't do this, but yet it's being swept under the rug, and they're allowing it. So now people lose faith because you remember the very people you looked up to have now violated you. They've taken you for a ride, and this is what's happening. People will say to you, you know, I guess I'd probably get in trouble with the church, and I try to do what I can, but I truly don't believe that God is in a building. I believe God exists in your heart, in your home, and in your family, and with your friends. Nobody says you can't pray in your room. Nobody says, you know, I'll have a cigar and I'll say my rosary. People say, you can't do that. But God understands. You see, the thing that's wrong with Christianity, I think, is the lack of acceptance. I always say to people, what would Jesus do? Do you think if Jesus was surrounded by gays and lesbians, he would say, uh-uh, you ain't gonna make it, brother. You're bad people. No way. He embraced everyone. Do you think, and now I'm going off on a tangent, and shut me up if I'm off, but you know, I once said to the priest when somebody said, well, this so-and-so said gays and lesbians are a greater threat to the world than global warming. And I said to this priest, well, Father, do you believe that God doesn't create evil and God doesn't create things that are destructive? And he said, yes. Well, then if gays and lesbians are such a threat to this world, why does he keep creating them? Because you don't believe for 1 minute that somebody gets up and says, oh, well, I think today I'm just going to be gay. You know, I think what's happening is until people understand that Christianity embellishes a big set of arms that engulfs everyone and says, I don't care what you are, who you are, if Jesus loves you, which he does, then I love you. Because I used to have a little medal that I used to give out to people. It was a hand, and in that hand was a person. And the bottom said, God doesn't make junk. So we're all part of what's happening. We need to, and the churches especially, need to accept people for who they are. For who they are. Because when you look at the churches, and I don't care if it's the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Lutheran Church, we're finding all of these things happening. People being molested, you know, money being stolen. It's crazy. And in the hierarchy of this Catholic Church, it started with the priests. Now it's gone to the bishops, the cardinals, and now they're talking about the sexual abuse of nuns. So you hold on to something, and you say, wow, am I making a mistake? Does it not exist? And I will tell you this, and I'll shut up after this. I was part of the healing ministry at La Salette Shrine. I saw things that you would never believe. I prayed over people I had a little girl who was deaf in her left ear. She wouldn't walk up. Her mother was worried. So Father Boulanger and I prayed, and she fell in the aisle. Now, this young girl had to be 20 feet from me. So the mother said to the priest, what do I do now? And he said, go down and whisper in her ear as soft as you can and tell her you love her, but make sure it's the ear she can't hear out of. Well, she went down, and I mean, you couldn't even hear this woman speak. And this girl grabbed your mother, kissed her, and said, and I love you too. Another situation was I was in a retreat, and this lady had polio canes and couldn't walk. And I said to somebody, I said, I think tonight that lady's going to get rid of those. And they said, you can't say that. And she started walking, and I said, get rid of them. And she dropped them. And for 3 days, she never walked with, she never used them for 3 days. What happened after that, I don't know. So for you to tell me that something bigger than me doesn't exist, I say you're a liar. Even Descartes, the greatest thinker of the world, Descartes, said, finally, there's something bigger than me. Call it whatever you wish. Call it God. Call it the tree. Call it the sky. There's definitely something that's bigger than you and I. And I've seen it with my own eyes. And, you know, I doubt. Believe me when I tell you, I doubt. I'm not this saintly person. I know who I am and what I am. You know, I believe in what I choose to believe in. I don't tell you to believe in what I believe in. You know, I joke when I do weddings. You know, they'll say, so what religion are you? I say I'm Roman Catholic. I roam from one church to the other. So it's like, it's kind of like I do what I want to do when I want to do it, but I never have lost touch with somebody bigger than me. I remember when I was going through my divorce, I had no money to buy food. And when I pray, I guess I do it different than most people. I just kind of sit and have a conversation. I can remember sitting in my chair with a cigar and saying, God, I can't take this shit anymore. How am I going to buy food? What am I going to do? You got to help me. Somebody has got to help me. Please give me a hand. And I swear to God, and I tell this story all the time, I walked down to my mailbox, and I had forgotten I had taught a class, and there was a check for $600 in the mailbox. Mm. It's like I say to people all the time, now we're talking religion, they say, prayers don't get answered. I pray for all this stuff, and it never gets answered. Well, you know what? My answer is simple, and maybe it's wrong. God never, ever fails to answer your prayers. Maybe he doesn't answer them the way you want it, but God will always give you what you need, not necessarily what you want. And if you believe that, and you have a little bit of faith like that little mustard seed, and sometimes I don't even have that, believe me, my faith is so weak. I doubt so much sometimes. Then I think it goes on. What's happened is people today have become too busy to take time for religion. They've become too busy because now they work 6 days a week. When I was a kid, we had the blue laws. Do you remember those? Mm-hmm. Everything was closed on Sunday.
Right.
And being Italian, one of the things we had to do was go to mass. Then you had Sunday dinner. So you had ma familia. There was family time. You had CCD, catechism class. We don't have that anymore. Parents don't practice what they believe in. You know, there's the old joke, and maybe this will answer it, I don't know, but there was a rabbi, a priest, and a minister, and they're all talking, and the rabbi says, you know, you guys have trouble with bats? And they go, yeah, we all have trouble with bats. He said, yeah, I just had the exterminator in the temple, and he got rid of the bats, and 3 weeks later they came back. What about you, minister? He said, me? I got the same problem, he said. We have this church, and there's an attic up there. I paid the exterminator, and guess what? The bats are back in 3 weeks. He said, what about you, father? He said, well, the last time we had bats, I walked up into the belfry. I gave them their first communion, confirmation, and said, God bless you, and they haven't been back since. So that's what happens with Christianity. Because we don't continue to practice, we don't teach it in the home, people are losing faith in it. The younger generation today, whether they believe in God or not, I choose to believe that they do. I choose to believe also that they don't believe in organized religion. That's the answer.
Right.
And so they, And so I think that's the reason we have this diversification. And until religions, and I'm Roman Catholic or Catholic, until the church understands what divorce is really all about, and it's not about an annulment. It's not about saying Jesus said, what I put together, let no man put asunder. If that's true, then you can't grant an annulment. Nobody can. Nobody can divide a marriage. So until they understand that, until they understand the privacy of two people as far as birth control, until they learn forgiveness and love and understanding and let everybody come in, gays, lesbians, black, green, purple, I don't give a shit what you are, transgender, whatever. You know what? There is a good lesson to be learned from the good book when somebody, when Jesus said, before you try to take the twig from your brother's eye, first go home, look in the mirror, and remove the beam from your own eye. And yep. I think that's what's yep. happening. And society today has no use for it. They have no time for religion. But I'm going to end it on this. Every time something goes wrong, what's the first thing people say? God help me.
Right, right. Mike, if I can get this in quick, and I can't remember who said this, but I never forgot this. When you pray to whatever God you may pray to, okay, this is for everybody across the board, there are three answers to choose from that come back from the Maker. And this is what somebody told me. I never forgot it. When you ask for something from God, answer one, we all understand, yes. That's the instant, you know, wow, like you went to the mailbox. Okay, everybody can relate to that. That's fantastic. That's awesome. It's the other two that are very, very important. Number two, not now. And number three, the best one, I have something else in mind for you. I always found that to be very, very deep. And I think that that's something that anybody could take into their own heart when they, if their prayer is not answer number one, yes, to think about the not now or even more deep, I have something else in mind for you. That's all I wanted to get in, Mike. But that's a great answer, John. Thank you.
No. So I don't really want to get into the scandal that's going on, right? We're going to go beyond that. But the question I do have, John, is do you think that a good man, at some point in their life, if they become so rich and powerful, they lose their morality and become a god to themselves? And that could be laid out to so many human beings that we know within the world. Do you think that's what goes on?
We all have our skeletons in our closets. We are who we are, we know what we are, and we know what those skeletons are. I've read the lawsuit. I've listened to a lot of people talk. I go right back to my original the statement I made before. There's your side, her side, and the truth. So there are many things that make my mind ask questions. You know, how factual is it? Did it really happen? It seemed to happen at an inopportune time. All of a sudden this blows up. Does money make a difference? Does age make a difference? If any enhancement drugs were taken, did that make a difference? I can only say this. I myself sit back and say, I can't believe it. I've met him. I've known him. I respect him. People are going to hate me for saying this. I know that. And I'm not trying to kiss anybody's ass. I'm not trying to cover any fluff. I'm just telling you what I see from my perspective. I just think it's very crazy that all of a sudden this pops up. I think if what we're hearing is true, I think it's crazy to spend $19.5 million on women to keep their mouths shut. And if people are willing to be silenced for money, then do we have a crime? And I guess that's a poor choice of words on my part. But when you stop and think about it, the first offense was $3 million. It went away. This one over here went away. Don't you think if the offenses were serious enough that people would unite and come forward as a whole? I don't know all the facts. I really don't. I'm not a lawyer. I've listened to people talk about it. I've listened to lawyers speak about it. Where it all ends up, I don't know. All I do know is this, that a man and a woman's reputation and an organization's reputation have now been severely scarred and marred.
intentional or unintentional, it's hurt a lot of people. I don't think that was ever the intent. If any of this is true to the point of deviation that I've read, then I have to say I feel sorry. I feel sorry that somebody ever reaches that point in their life where you have to take advantage of somebody to that extent. Really, that's just not right, period. It's not right. But certainly, when we look at it, it's not something that people didn't know about. Is that a good word to use? Other people around you, you know, they didn't quite understand it. So whether all these things are true, I don't know. Supposedly they've got this, they've got that. I don't think it's a case of having money. I think that when people have money, it seems the more money you have, the more you believe you can get away with. That's evident by a situation. I believe it was at a local pub. I think it was in Colorado, a bar, where a representative was in there, and he was had a little too much to drink, excuse me. And he kept saying, "Do you know who I am? I'll have this bar closed in one day. This bar is finished. You're done. Do you know who I am?" Well, the fact of the matter, sir, you're drunk like everybody else. You're not above the law. But because of your position and because of the, in anybody's case, a billionaire, a millionaire's case, the money and contacts you have behind you, you feel that you're one step above the law, one step above everyone else. And maybe that's the answer. I really don't know. To me, it was a shock when it came out. I'm still trying to sift that out of my own mind. A lot of talk about it. Other superstars have made no bones about coming out and speaking about it. I know that I texted you earlier and said I really don't want to get into it because I don't know a whole lot about it. I have my own personal feelings on it. But again, money is power. And if that's the case, then the statement you just made is true. If you have money, you have power, and when you have that, you believe you can do anything to anyone and get away with it. My answer to that would be absolutely yes. So but that Jimmy, doesn't mean everyone who has money and power falls to that level, who tries to control people beneath them. So I don't know. I guess I got to shut up right now.
No, I just, Jimmy, that's probably the best take I've heard on this situation. So,
absolutely.
John, I'm sorry for
and I'm not...
I tried to avoid it as much as possible, so I do apologize. But that was probably the best take I've heard on this situation.
No surprise coming from John. John, can I ask you, since we're talking about Vince, can you tell me who is Vince McMahon to you with your experiences with him, and how has he treated your family over the years?
Vince McMahon, to me, when I worked with him, was a businessman. He was a friend to a lot of people. He treated people with respect from what I saw. Remember, I wasn't backstage at night like these people. So I only saw one side of this man. He was always kind and generous. As far as my family goes, I only know what he did for me. I saw how my son worked for him, his dedication. I saw how other people respected what he was and who he was. You know, I always say this, to be a businessman and want to succeed is tough. In this business, if you can't put asses in seats, what good are you to me? And so people become very upset. You know, well, you get rid of me because, or they get rid of me because. Some of the people who recently get fired, I still can't figure out why they left Dolph Ziggler go, why they let some of these other people go. In my own mind, I just can't fathom it. Is it good for business? I don't think so. But in their opinion, it was. As far as Vince went, he was professional. He demanded respect. He gave respect. And he made sure that the show was run the way it was supposed to be run. Did he go overboard sometimes? I don't know that. Were there situations where you were told what to do? And in one situation, I had something I was supposed to say, and I remember saying to Paul Levesque, I said, so if I forget a word, I can ad lib it.
He said, either you say it the way it is or you don't say it at all. So it was a business. And Vince was always kind and generous, respectful. So that's what I know about Vince McMahon. I mean, every time he saw me or any member of my family, he was, hi, how you doing? Hey, Fabo, how's it going? That's why I say I'm in shock.
Let's swing this to more positive stuff. You were talking about AEW and we're talking about the WWE. We've all, between the three of us, we've all seen a lot of wrestling from a whole bunch of different generations. John, would you say today's wrestling right now at this moment is the best time ever for professional wrestling?
No. No. I think what they've forgotten in this era of wrestling, and I think Paul Levesque is trying to bring that back. Tony Khan's trying to do the same thing in a different way, is that there are stories to be told and there are things that need to be done. You know, if you look at some of the storylines out there, they last for 2 weeks. Who the hell holds a belt for 3 weeks and then loses it? I think Roman Reigns has held the belt too long now. The Bloodline was a good story, but I think it's time to end. You know, there's stuff on the other side with Khan, a couple of things he's doing, they don't make any sense to me. This Don Callis thing is, you know, he made the statement, if he had to slap a senior citizen, he would. Well, Don, I'm not too hard to find. Come on down.
Nice.
Nice. I'm there. So I just think what's lost is it's become more of entertainment. You remember in the days when we had the Grand Wizard, when we had Chief J. Strongbow, a good friend, we had Haystacks Calhoun, the great Bruno Sammartino. Those guys told you a story, and I'm sure if you're like me, you sat there and you believed it. You believed that Sammartino's neck got broken by Larry Zbyszko. When he got beat in Boston Garden by Koloff, I thought they were going to kill that Russian guy. I thought he was going to be dead because the stories were real. There was something that made you want to be part of it. I think what's happened is Vince, I liken him to the Wizard of Oz. Remember at the very end, the dog pulls back the curtain and said, don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. And so what Vince said was, yes, this is entertainment. Worldwide wrestling entertainment. Wrestling is entertainment. It's scripted. It's this. It's that. You know, it's all about people getting high spots. It's all about me. It's not about us. Who cares if I win or lose as long as the story comes off the way it's supposed to come off? And you don't see that today. I talk to people all the time about, you know, I have a lot of friends at Two Guys Smoke Shop, and if you guys smoke cigars, come on, we'll go up and have a few sticks. But Two Guys, we're always talking about wrestling at some point. And they all say the same thing. I watch a little here, watch a little there. It's not the same. There's no stories. There's nothing to it. And then you hear somebody say, boy, I really hate that Seth Rollins. Great, Seth, you're doing a good job. But then they cut the storyline off. You know, when you take a man, and I think it all started when the WWE thought it was funny to take superstars like Dusty Rhodes and dress them in polka dots and send them out into that ring. When you start a storyline with somebody and for a couple of weeks and then it's gone, what is there to follow? A great man, Dusty Rhodes, great human being, one of the all-time greats. Cody Rhodes has got big boots to fill. Let me tell you right now.
Well, let me ask you a question on it. I don't mean to cut you off, but you did say something about taking the belt from Roman Reigns. And by the way, old man loves our tribal chief. Okay, just so we understand this. I got two questions now. Don't you think it's important that Roman passes Hogan, right? And two, the biggest thing you just mentioned, do you really think Cody Rhodes is the guy to carry the WWE further down the road? Can he fill our tribal chief's boots? Jimmy, put your hand up, please. Show the respect to our tribal chief. Thank you. John?
You okay over there? Acknowledge him, John.
when he first started, I made a comment, and God rest his soul, on Dan Moratti's Boston Wrestling. We had that show every week. And I made the comment that Roman Reigns just didn't have it because they brought him in the wrong way. If they'd have brought Roman Reigns in as what he is now,
okay,
and then turned him face, he would be the face of the company. I'll say this, and maybe I'm all wet. I don't think you'll ever see another face of the company. I think you'll see superstars who will be recognized to be able to accomplish great deals, but you'll never see another Stone Cold Steve Austin, another face. You won't see another Dwayne Johnson, another face. You won't see those types of people coming in. Is Cody Rhodes, and one thing, Roman Reigns with that belt, if you look at the number of times Hulk Hogan defended it and the number of times your tribal chief has defended it, Stefan Yan, the tribal chief, and Hulk Hogan, what you gonna do, brother, when I kick your ass, right? And that's what makes it bad. You see, if he's a true fighting champion, I don't care how he does it, how he wins, is Paul Heyman's shoves a thermometer up your nose and you can't breathe and he pins you, who cares? If you get hit with a chair or a Solo Sikoa comes in and beats you up, who cares? At least he's doing something. He's defending his title. It doesn't work.
But, John,
he's not a fighting champion.
Don't you want our Universal Champion every time he defends a title to be a special occasion, like a Mike Tyson-esque bout?
You know, I'm going to say this. Yes, everybody wants a special occasion. But when you and I can sit here, and this is what's wrong with professional wrestling today, when I can sit here with my 10-year-old granddaughter and she said, Papa, Roman Reigns is going to win again. Papa, Cody Rhodes is going to win again. You know what? That's not wrestling. That's just bullshit. And so, and I'm being very open-minded, right? You know, I'm sorry, but I think at some point, this is not about a champion. This is about they want me to beat this man's record. They don't give a damn how I do it. He's beaten everybody else's record. But now they want him to beat Hulk Hogan's record, and then he'll drop the belt. Right. Well, what about John Cena being 17-time heavyweight champion?
Yeah.
What about that? Yeah. You know? Doesn't I'm just using that as, not because he's my son. Forget he's my son. Right. What about it? Let's look at all he's done, how he's done it. Where is that reward? Mm. Now, Cody Rhodes, you asked me about Cody. When I was getting my ass kicked by Randy Orton in that ring for the main event, who came to my rescue for the first time? It was Cody Rhodes. Mm. And when they did a gimmick on what did Cody Rhodes have in his bag in the locker room, he had Fabo Bucks. So is Rhodes the guy? He's got the look. He has the determination. But does he have the endurance to keep putting the asses in seats? Because what I see with professional wrestling is people tire quickly. Unless it's interesting, captivating, and mystical, it doesn't work. Will he ever become the face of the company? I make my statement again. I don't think they'll ever, in professional wrestling, be another face of the WWE,
is it,
AEW, TNA, whatever it is. There won't be a face.
John, is it fair to say, though, that Roman Reigns, during this run, has kept the fans involved?
He has.
I think it's fair to say what I hear on the outside. I'm tired of it.
Oh, you're
I'm
mean.
Tired.
Okay. You're so
because that's fair. The wins that Roman has had have not been accomplished on his own. One, not good. not good. If he wants to be recognized for what he is and who he is, the tribal chief, because what did Dwayne Johnson say? The real tribal chief is here, right? And that's going to be a beautiful storyline. Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and your tribal chief, right? I just think that it's being handled all wrong, that it should have ended a long time ago. I thought it was going to end. I thought Solo Sikoa would be the guy to dethrone him, and then Cody Rhodes would come in and take care of it on the other side. Now we have The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, back in the mix again, which is, I guess, okay, because my prediction is, and I think the world of Dwayne Johnson, I do, and The Rock, but I don't think this time he's going to go away. It's not going to be one and done.
I don't think
you're going to see him cool. go away.
Okay. John, I got to ask you, okay? Mike and I have talked about this a lot. Is your son the last great face in the history of the WWE? Because we do put your son on the level of a Hulk Hogan, before him Bruno, Stone Cold later on, a different kind of good guy, but still a good guy nonetheless. He's a face one way or the other. The Rock. John Cena is on that list.
Can I add on to your question real quick? Also, to answer Jimmy's question, being a true wrestling fan, how proud are you that you have a son that, in I think everybody's mind, is in the top four greatest wrestlers ever to step in a ring?
The last great face.
Yep.
I'm very proud of my son and what he's accomplished, because my son has done it on his own. You know, people think you just turn around and that's it. He slept in his car in California. He lied to me. He didn't have a place to live. He worked 85 hours at the gym until they found him at UPW. And then he still continued to sleep in a car, work on the beaches, driving to wrestling shows. You know, there are a lot of guys like my son who have worked their way from the bottom to the top. Dedication, and he does have, like a lot of people, dedication to the WWE, WWF. I would say this, and I alluded to the fact that I don't think there'll ever be another face of the WWF or WWE or AEW or whatever. So why don't we just say, I named two people, let's add Cena to the list. How's that?
I don't want
any prejudice. I don't want anybody to say, you know, he's your kid. Let's just add him to the list. I mean, if you look at wrestling today, you tell me now. My question to the both of you is, who do you see in WWE that's going to carry that torch as long as Cena, as long as Austin, as long as The Rock? Who's going to do that? There's nobody that can do that. San Martino. Who? Nobody. I don't see anybody there. I really don't. Do I see a lot of good talent? Do I see a lot of young men and women who deserve shots and are getting them that may be able to carry it for a time? Yeah, but nobody's going to carry it for 16 years. Nobody's going to carry it for 5 or 10 years. Nobody. There's nobody there. And Roman Reigns, right now, your buddy, people just say enough is enough. And now it's a case of, and maybe this is why people don't like what they see. Now it's not a case of what the fans want. It's a case of what management wants. They want to destroy Hulk Hogan's record. Well, good. Have a nice day. Enjoy.
John, I love you to death. I agreed with you on 99%, but boy, you hurt my feelings on these Roman Reigns comments. You're really crushing my soul.
Mine too.
John.
The bloodline is one of the best stories of the last kabillion years, and it's been interesting for years, John. I'm very disappointed in you. God bless you.
Well, I never said I didn't like the bloodline story, because they have one of the greatest managers in the world, Paul Heyman.
Yes.
Remember one play. That bloodline would be nothing without Heyman and Roman Reigns, because it was Reigns' idea. I believe the bloodline was Reigns' idea. So Reigns is good at what he's doing. But now, like anything else, it's like you and I go into an ice cream shop, and every day we get as much ice cream as we want. how long will it be before you say, hold it, I've had enough ice cream? Because you've had people out there that were able to beat or should have beaten the tribal chief but didn't. So you see what's happening is the days of cheating and getting the lousy win, those days right now, people are saying this is getting just a little bit too much. Well, and I think it's better to ride the horse out. And I think the way to do it is Reigns gets screwed and now turns face. Doesn't mean you can't create a second bloodline with your tribal chief, but on the other side. You see, there's a lot of potential here for a lot of story, but I think it's time now to admit the fact that enough is enough. You've got a universal champion, and I'm just going to say it myself, one who can't and won't defend the title. When he does defend the title, he screws over everybody he fights. So why not have some clean wins? Why not have him do it by himself? Well, let's put you in the ring against him and see what you can do.
Well, first of all, I'm fat, and it's clear that I could keep eating ice cream, and I'll never stop. So, John, before we go.
What's wrong with me? I hope that if I ever faced him that he cheats and I lose. There's got to be something wrong with me.
But before we go, I think it's important that we show our respects to Dan Marotti. Again, everybody knows the back and forth we had with Dan, and that's how we met the great John Cena. And unfortunately, Dan passed away. Have you been in touch with Dan's family at all, or can you tell us a little bit?
No, that was a very tragic situation. And, you know, I think that thing got blown out of proportion. But let's leave the past behind and let's forget and forgive everyone involved because it's over and done with. We wanted to do a memorial show, but the family, I believe, just didn't want to do that. And I can understand why. And so what's happened is people have kind of gone their separate ways. Excuse me. I speak to his brother once in a while. He's asked me to do something for a bunch of kids in Melrose, go down and speak to them. So I'm going to do that on the 22nd in, I think it's either, Malden, Mass. I'm going to go down and chat with those young people. But no, very little contact. I bumped into his business partner. I was at a restaurant. I didn't recognize. I was at the Tuckaway Tavern. Didn't even recognize this guy. He had a beard. You remember me? I said, when it was his partner. And we basically chatted. And they sold all the memorabilia that he had. And believe me when I tell you, I didn't realize the extensive amount of memorabilia that this young man had collected. Not only did he have it was in the studio, I guess, but a room at his parents', at his dad's home, and a storage locker. I'm sure that that would have been his favorite charity was Special Olympics. But all that was disseminated. The last show we had to cancel, that was it. And then I spoke to the family, we all spoke, and they didn't want to go forward with the show and didn't want to do a benefit. And I guess that's it. It's over and it's done with.
Well, again, he is missed by so many fans. What he built and honestly what he did for the industry cannot be challenged. And again,
like him or hate him, and I believe me, I walked out on that guy 3 or 4 times. You know, I didn't like the way he treated people. I was very vocal. I don't like you taking advantage of people. The one thing I despise is making fun of somebody with a handicap or that speaks with a lisp. So I walked out 3 or 4 times. I make no bones about it. I've had my shit hands with him too, but forgive and forget, as I say. And I made it very clear the last time I came back that if it ever happens again, this is the last time you'll see me. I'm just not tolerating this because this is not what this business is about. But he did a lot for a lot of people. He took a lot of the older wrestlers and kind of gave them hands. There's all kinds of stories out there, fact or fiction. I don't know. But it is what it is. What's done is done. He loved what he did. He loved the business. It's unfortunate that the accident occurred, but that's why I think we're back to the beginning of the show. Went home, took a shower. Father heard a thud in the bathroom, and that was it.
So it's a road that we all travel. Let's travel it with joy, love, and smiles in our hearts. Don't look for hate or anger or revenge, and just enjoy this ride, because when the breeze comes and blows out the candle, it's out for good. So, you know, that was the way it went. And he was always, and I will say this, he was always in severe pain because of the accident that he had, that automobile accident with the Sheik, hit by a drunk driver. He was always in severe pain, always in pain. Sometimes they get calls, he's going to kill himself. That's how bad it was. And so through that, he still managed to do some stuff. Did he do stuff right all the time? No, I wasn't impressed when he allowed Mari Jannetty to do that TV show drunk and talk about Linda McMahon and some other people that way. And I'm sure Mari was embarrassed when he saw it. But, you know, that's just the way it is. But outside of that, like I say, we all have our faults. We all have our skeletons, and that's why I say to people, you know, the old Irish saying is you can't pee in the wind, and don't throw stones because somehow they hit a rubber wall and they come back and hit you. And then when they come back, they hit you hard.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of sit back in my own life.
One thing I don't want to get lost on the whole thing, what you guys did with that channel and the entertainment you gave to so many people, especially during COVID, should not be forgotten. He helped, and you helped, and I think Oscar had a show with him on there. Mari Jannetty, obviously, Atlas. What you guys did for fans out there, which, you know, only had their laptop or their computer and MWF Boston Wrestling Channel, should not be, it just should never be forgotten. And I know on this show, me and Jimmy will never forget Marotti at all. We know what he did for the people out there. So, and again, the same goes for you. So obviously in life we have negatives and positives, but I claim to think that there's more positives that Marotti gave out to the world than negatives, for sure.
I believe that. I do. Well, you guys are going to have to come up here and get some Chinese food at the Kowloon.
I'm going to come
look
up.
Forward.
I am going to come up and see you. And again, John, I want to say this, and then I'll let Jimmy speak. You are, again, one of the most impressive people I've ever met. You're calm. You're funny. And again, it's no wonder that all your sons turned out as great as they all turned out to be. You should be very proud to be a father and what you've done, and you should be just very proud of everything that you've done. I got to tell you that you mean the world to me and Jimmy, and I could speak to Jimmy on that. Jimmy?
Yeah, he's got me thinking about Dan Marotti, and we don't normally, you know, I don't normally say this, but he was such a worthy opponent. He really was, because his product was good, his guests were good, and at the end of the day, it was a terrible tragedy. John, I just want to thank you because you're right there, and Mike knows how we feel about Bob Backlund when he came into the studio. You are right there as far as just an absolute pleasure to talk to. You're rational, and you get what we're doing and have been doing for years now, and I really, really appreciate the fact that you're a gentleman to us, because most people, you know, think we're lunatics, but I really do appreciate everything about you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and you guys are brothers to me, and it's an honor and a privilege to be allowed to come back on your show. And please, my door is open anytime. And again, it's great to see the both of you. You're both looking good. Stay healthy. Be well. Be safe.
John, before you go, we have a couple of different shows on the channel. We have a guy from Boston. His name is What a J, Joe Lowry. Did you know Joe?
What a day.
What a day. Joe Lowry. I'd have to see a face.
Well, let's see what he thinks about that you don't know him. What's his thoughts about you not giving him any props? Joe, what are you thinking?
Oh,
you just upset Joe, man. That's just look at that's me. Not right. That's not right, John. John, thanks again. God. Thanks again for joining us, man.
What a day!
We love you. What a day. Thanks, Mr. Cena.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Jimmy.
Look at you, Mike. What are you doing? Oh, boy. Your phone's going to be ringing off the hook all night.
The great John Cena Sr.
Absolutely, what are you thinking, man? I'm thinking what I said to him. He's right there with Backlund. I mean, as far as a feel-good interview, the guy's fantastic. He's very, very intelligent. I mean, it's really hard to argue with a lot of the things he says. And more importantly, the way he says it. Hmm. He's Captain Composure. I mean, what's his secret? How do I get there? You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he wrote me and he said he really didn't want to go into the McMahon stuff. And I totally get it, right? It's like,
Wait a minute. He brought him up.
That's what I'm saying. That's the amazing thing about him. I think as he was thinking, he's like, you know what? I've got to say what I have to say. And boy, if I'm anti-Vince or pro-Vince, right?
Right.
You listen to that, right? You're just in your head. You haven't spoken to anybody. And it's like, I'm going to listen to John Cena on this before I even spout a word.
Right.
Boy, oh boy.
Right.
He flattened you out.
Yep. You know what? I'm actually very proud of this, that John felt comfortable enough to talk to us about. He trusted us to talk about this, you know, and I'm very happy about that. You know, he showed faith and of course, you know, people run away with our opinion on how we feel about Vince and stuff like that. But he trusted us and we didn't charge through the door. OK, now let's say all these outrageous things and blah, blah, blah. No, it was an intelligent conversation coming from an intelligent man. And it was great. I really, really loved it. I can't wait to watch it on the playback at some point. You know, it was fantastic.
The one thing he gave me clarity on, Jimmy, and it hit me when he was speaking. You know, I bitch and moan about these anti-Vince McMahon guys, right?
Right.
And I realized I'm this major pro-Vince McMahon guy, which I've said, right? Because Vince, again, as a younger man, I looked up to Vince McMahon. So it's almost like you're getting these rumors about a family member. You're, like, defending them. So I realized when John was speaking, I was like, you know, I'm as guilty as the anti-Vince McMahon guys because I'm totally like, I won't listen to the other side because I just believe in what Vince is. But now he gave me clarity is like, level it out.
Right.
Like you've been saying since the beginning, let this all play out and then leave yourself to make decisions on what's going on.
Right.
Joe, do you think that was a good comment on my end or no?
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to like it at all.
Come on, Joe. Come on.
Dude, he is disgusted with you. What is wrong with you?
Man,
I mean, if we rolled our eyes, nobody would see it because we're wearing shades. I'm rolling my eyes right now. Do you see me? I'm like,
Jimmy, here's what I'm going to test you with. I'm away on vacation with my wife and my daughter and her husband next week. Abe has the week off. You need to pick a partner for next week and do the show. So get prepared.
What?
Yes.
How? How am I doing that without Abe?
No, you don't need Abe, right, for this. We'll figure it out. But I just want
to
make sure.
Abe, how does that feel? I don't need you.
I want to make sure that everybody is aware that Jimmy will be picking a co-host and be running the show next week. Jimmy, again, two very great shows. Joe from What a Day, seriously, we love having you on the channel. I hope you didn't take our banter on you too seriously. It's all in fun and games.
Oh,
what do you think about my apology, Joe?
Eat shit, Monty!
He's not accepting my apology. Joe, I'm so sorry. Joe, please forgive me. Oh, man.
You think you would have listened to one thing John Cena Sr. had to say about forgiveness? Just
one thing. And he won't forgive. All right, Jimmy, send us out.
You've been watching Monty and the Pharaoh. And until next week when I supposedly try to do this on my own. Later.
Love you all.